Councilman Bain and Everett from tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to citizen input, item 1.5. Any citizen here tonight who would like to address the council? Yes, Dave Spurl, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record. You have up to 5 minutes.
Dave Spurl, and I live out on Crestline Road. And I love Othello, and so I'm always thinking about something that might help us. They're selling an awful lot of Tesla cars. I know this has been addressed before or gone at, but they're selling them. And we are about in the middle between Seattle and Pullman, Moscow. They run about 250 to 300 miles now on a charge. I think that we could sure use a charging station in Othello. And I really think it should be out here in front of City Hall somewhere. There's three restaurants that they can walk to. There's a park in the summertime. There's banks. Takes about 30 minutes, charge the car. I think Avista needs to be involved somehow, but I think we should address that. If we don't, Royal City will. Maybe Weshtukna, who knows? But we're out here, north-south traffic, east-west traffic, 26 and 17. And when you do put in a charging station, it goes into the Tesla database, and those cars, as they're driving, it tells them exactly where to go to get charged. And it would bring them right into Othello, up Main Street. Here we are.
Is there a charge for charging?
I don't know exactly how that all works, but the people that can afford a Tesla can probably afford to get it charged.
You know, I think there was a proposal made at one time. We just need to dig it out.
Well, I think we have ordinance. We passed ordinance that said that we allow them, but we haven't got one yet. So,
well, I've been in places where they're there, and two or three Teslas parked there charging, and they're in the little restaurant eating, or getting their banking done, or going to the park and reading a book for 30 minutes, and then they're on their way again. So we're right out here. I think it's Crossroads, maybe a good spot.
I'll revisit that.
Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dave. Is there any other citizen who would like to address the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And tonight we'll move to item 3, the consent agenda.
Make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to our current business in item 4.1, which is a public hearing on the Olson Homes Garza Enterprises water main reimbursement. And I would like to open that public hearing tonight at 6:36 p.m. And we have a presentation from Othello's Community Development Director, Ann Hennings.
Thank you. So, some of you would recall that when the Sagestone 8 development was built, part of the whole process was extending utility lines across the property to the west. I wasn't here then, but in reading the discussion, apparently what was proposed is that the developer would extend all those utilities, but then request a reimbursement for the water main. And so then that reimbursement would be paid when that property that it crossed, when there was development on that. And so that is what I have prepared for you. So Mr. Olson said he probably wouldn't be able to make it tonight, but he would be the property owner that would be benefiting from it. I believe that Mr. Garza from Garza Enterprises is here to address it, or at least to be present. We took the amount that was requested and divided it by the lineal footage on either side of the street, pretty simple calculation, and then that goes as an ordinance in the municipal code to be collected at time of subdivision or connection to the water, and then the city would just collect the money and then forward it to the developer. Are there any questions?
You guys are pretty familiar with this process now.
Yep, we had a budget for it, we approved it, we're just finalizing it.
Yep. All right, thank you, Ann. At this time, now I'll open the public testimony portion of this public hearing. That's divided in three segments: those who want to speak in support, those who are neutral to the proposal, and those who are in opposition to the proposal. So those in support, is there anyone here who wants to speak in support of this reimbursement ordinance? Is there anyone here who would is neutral but still wants to speak? Yes, Lolo Garza.
Good evening. My name is Lolo Garza. I'm the owner, president of Garza Enterprises. I chose neutral because I want to know the amount. I've got some literature or some letters here of the amount, but I'd like to put it on record what the amount is.
Okay. So I think as you look on our agenda memo here, the requested amount for the reimbursement is $25,145.62, and the city paid an additional $85,44 for oversizing, but the amount that would be reimbursed is the $25,145.62, to answer your question specifically. Is there anybody else who is neutral that would like to speak? Is there anyone in opposition who would like to speak? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public testimony portion. And now, staff, if you have council, if you want to discuss this further or have any further questions of Ann?
I have a question.
Yes.
So this would be collected at the time the property is subdivided or water service is requested. That's for the Garza Enterprises, right? So is this going to be a latecomer's fee?
Yes.
So it's a latecomer's fee. So if it goes beyond 15 years, you don't have to pay.
It's actually 20.
20 now?
Well, you can set it, but the RCW allows up to 20 for water or sewer, is limited to 15 if it's a street project or combined, but when it's just a utility, it can be up to 20 years.
Okay, but I was talking to Sean O'Brien. I thought he had told me it was 15 years, so that's why I'm asking. Latecomer's fee.
And the council can choose, like I said, the council can choose the length of it. The RCW allows up to 20 years.
Okay.
Okay, so if you read the paragraph, there says OMC allows a maximum term of 15 years, unless a longer period is allowed, and RCW does. And it says that for water and sewer facilities, it allows a reimbursement contract to be for a period of 20. Therefore, a 20 was included in this particular ordinance. But as Ann has stated, we don't have to go with 20. We can go with 15. That's up to the council. So as you make your motion to adopt this ordinance, make sure that you specify a 15 or a 20 year. Unless you want to, do you guys want to have some discussion about 15 versus 20?
No.
Well, I don't know if Lola, did you get anything in writing for a 15 year?
I looked through all this and there was nothing that said the 15. It was just a verbal from the previous administrator and the previous planner.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think part of the reason that is, Lola, is because that's what we were all operating under that. Understanding is the 15 was the time frame, and so this ordinance was just prepared here in the last, how long ago, Ann? Yeah, so we just prepared this in the last couple of weeks, so it wasn't anything that the city specifically wanted to go 15 or 20. We just included a 20, and as Ann said, the council can decide how they want to proceed. Okay.
Want the rules to change after the discussion. And so if you go with 20, in my point of view, you're changing the rules. pulled from what was approached. Granted, it's not in writing, but that was, if I have to bring back Travis and Wade to prove my point, it's more advantageous for me, obviously, for 15 years, but that's exactly what city appropriate.
Okay. So is there any objection from the council to having it at 15 years versus 20?
Well, if 20 is available.
20 is available.
20 is available, then, I mean, if he's going to sit on the property for 15 years so that this valuation goes away and he no longer has a commitment to make any payment, then I'm for extending it to 20 because it's not going to be your nickel. It's going to be the people you sell the homes to nickel. I mean,
so whenever there's a hookup, Lolo, so let's say you decide to go into the home building business, just as an example, and you want to do a subdivision and you apply for a plat and you're going to build 40 homes on your property, as an example. Each one of those homes that hook up are going to pay a fee that'll help pay back this $25,145.62. So that means any development that takes place upon your property is going to pay when there's a hookup to this service. So that's how the reimbursement.
Sure, but we raise the valuation of his property by $30,000. Boom, just like that by doing this.
Potentially the taxes too. So,
okay.
I just feel that it's not proper to come to a negotiation with one set of rules and then in the middle of the game change it. That's the first point. Okay. Now, if I get a buyer for this property, there's a lien on this property.
Latecomer agreement, yeah, in essence, yes.
And so that is a disadvantage for me to try to market this property with a lien. But if there's a 15 year versus a 20 year, obviously it's going to be more attractive if it's got a 15 year.
Okay, but it's not unattractive when you have utility services already extended to your property. So
yes.
You didn't have those before, and now you have them. And
you have,
so that is where you will than offset.
I understand that, and yeah. I'm not opposed to that. And I'm in agreement with the amount and the whole bit. What I'm not in agreement with is you're changing the rules now.
Noted. I get that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is a benefit for that development, but like John was saying, you know, it's driven by the economy. I don't think he's going to say, I'm going to wait 15 years so I can save the 25 grand, mm-hmm. when right now, next year, if it's going to be a boom year for the next 2 years, I'm going to build. I don't want to save the 25 grand. So it's not necessarily he's going to wait 15 years for that to happen to pocket 25,000 bucks because it's economy driven. So I don't think that's what he's looking for. He just want, you know, it's not, you don't have nothing in writing, so it's based on whatever council decides, really.
That's right. So this is a good discussion. I think most of it's market driven. You know, what's the market going to bear? What's the demand for property, residential and commercial in Othello? And I think that if so now you speculate. So let's just say that it's going to be hot in Othello for the next 10 years, growth. But then after that, it cools off quite a bit. Well, you're not going to want to give up the opportunity. You want to sell your property if you're going to sell it or develop your property when it's hot, when real estate is hot. So I mean, this is up to the council. I don't really see any problem with 15 years or 20. It doesn't affect the city council at all. If this was the city's money and the citizens' money that extended the 25,000, I would be more inclined to want to go 20. But this is the amount that the developer at Pete Olson paid to have that money, that water line ran across his property. He's the one that's going to collect the latecomer fee. So that's just another angle.
What do you mean by he's going to collect it? So he won't collect it if it goes past the...
Well, I mean, up until that time.
Until that time, yeah.
Up until the...
So he did, he paid that then?
Yeah, he paid it.
Not the city?
Not the city.
But we gave him the right to recoup the costs through this latecomers agreement.
Yeah, that's what this is giving Mr. Olson the right to recoup his $25,000 that he spent on their property.
The only thing we paid was the $85,440.
Yeah, for upsizing.
Okay.
All right, well, then the ordinance is going to need to be rewritten and come back.
Well,
At a later date.
I think we can approve it tonight.
Yeah.
But we just specify the term, because that's the only thing that's going to change. If you want to change it.
Well...
Yeah, it says that in the agenda memo. It was written for a 20-year.
The ordinance is on there, Gina.
Okay, I see.
No, you're looking at the memo. The ordinance is actually the last item.
So
the ordinance...
So we would just, in our motion, specify the term and they'd change it.
Okay, so you're going to make a motion to change the years from 20 to 15 in the ordinance. So the final date would be...
Okay, let me give you the motion. You would make a motion to approve this ordinance and replace the 20-year term with a 15-year term. Yes?
Am I allowed to say something now, one last time?
Okay, okay, we're still deliberating, but go ahead.
I've got a letter dated September 26, 2016, when the three parties, Olson's, Garza's, and the city of Othello, were invited into this agreement. And so you would think that whatever policy at that date should stand for this.
Noted. Thank you. Okay, I gave you guys a motion. Do you guys want? Okay, let me restate that motion. Sorry. So we would the council person would make a motion to adopt this ordinance, changing the 20-year term to a 15-year term, if that is the desire of this motion.
You're looking for somebody to make the motion?
Yep.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we change the date on the ordinance to 15 years.
Yep.
And approve the ordinance.
Okay, and Gina seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, council. We'll conclude the public hearing at 6:51 p.m. And now we'll go on to further board business. And before us, we have a contract for Robert Droll and Associates, an on-call landscape architect contract. And tonight we have our Park and Recs coordinator, Amy Hurlbut, to discuss this contract with council.
Good evening. In January, we went out to RFQ to search for on-call landscape architect services for the city of Othello. And we got five responses. And after the selection committee met and used the evaluation criteria, Robert Droll and Associates was identified as the desired on-call landscape architect. He was awarded the proposal, and we have since worked with the city attorney and the city clerk, and I sat down and got a contract put together for Mr. Droll. This is a contract template that we'll use for on-call services going forward. So we have surveying services also that have been recently selected for on-call contract. So the format and the design of this contract will resemble those as well. And he will be using a task order form that was developed at his request, some form that he's typically used to working with, and I thought kept good track of what we had requested him to do and what the cumulative project cost was during the contract period. So I attached that just for you guys to look at as well. His work will be executed at city staff's request, following the requirements of the purchasing policy that the city of Othello uses. So as long as the work is within a $15,000 budget that we have previously approved, we'll be able to execute those work orders through the monthly report. As far as the communication goes, and anything higher than that would come to council for approval on that specific request. He's not going to work on his own. He'll only work when we ask him to. And so, like he said, he'll be here when we want him, and he won't be here when we don't want him. And he'll wait for our instructions. Once we ask him to do a job, he'll put together a scope of work and a budget. And that's where the city will have the opportunity to either execute the orders or figure out a different path if that happens to be the option.
Amy, will you refresh the council's memory as to who Mr. Droll is and what work he's already done for the city?
I will. During the two grants that we wrote for RCO funding cycle in 2018, we used Robert Droll's services for the design and planning for both the YAF grant, which was to improve the ball field infield dirt and fix some safety issues we have there, as well as improve the ADA compliance of the restroom, walk areas, and concession stand window. And the other grant that we worked on with RCO this year was for the splash pad. And Robert Droll was hired as a subcontractor for Varela & Associates to do that work for us. And if we don't use him as a sub, then we save some money since we're not paying the overhead on having somebody else farm him out to us. So this is an opportunity for us to get the same level of experience and product that he was able to deliver during the RCO grant writing, but at our will for
and
his
he
price.
He was also the one that Meg recommended to us from Gordon Thomas Honeywell, our project manager for these different types of amenity projects that we're doing in the city. So he came highly recommended. He did a really good job for us. And so what we're doing in essence here is changing his status from being underneath Varela & Associates and contracting with him direct, and thereby saving at least 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing tonight.
That's right.
And his plan is we're going to do, he's going to finish a master park plan for Lions Park. And then when it comes time, do we want to do a master park plan for Kiwanis Park? He will help us complete a master park plan for Kiwanis Park and anything else that we get ourselves involved in.
And a master park plan is an essential component in any grant writing that comes for park-related amenities, from swimming pool to park shelters to walk paths. I mean, the whole gamut. They want to know what you've done, what you want, and where you're going, so they know that the investment in any realm will make is a sustainable donation or contribution to an overall big picture of things. And so having something like that was important that the city had a comprehensive plan, you know, to sort of make it, you know, like something we've already else have that's going on. It's important to have as a component for grant writing for Parks and Rec, so something we need.
Any questions, council?
No.
All right, I need a motion.
I'm making a motion to approve the Robert Droll Associates Landscape Architect on-call contract with the City of Othello.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. And now we shall move to item 4.3. which is our snow plowing policy. And the council had asked me to gather some information and the December 12th, I say December 12th, actually it was the January, February 12th. We didn't have any snow then, do now. It's probably the coldest, snowiest February on record.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it's already moving into the coldest, snowiest March on record. So we had a discussion about snow plowing in the commercial district on First and Main. Those businesses have no off-street parking because that particular area of town was built at a time that off-street parking wasn't required for, in the business district. And so we discussed a number of options. We talked about plowing and stacking the snow in the middle of the street. We talked about plowing on Main and moving all the snow onto, it says here Lions Park, I've got a couple of errors on this agenda memo, but it's actually Pioneer Park side of the street, but that could only be done on one block. Or we could continue to plow according to our current policy. And so I had a discussion with Public Works Director Terry Clements and also with the police chief, and it says they recommend. I also recommend option C, and these are the reasons. One, it's not a regular occurrence that we have this kind of snow. Happens maybe once or twice every 3 to 5 years, and when it impacts, that's how often it would impact these downtown businesses, so it's not a regular occurrence. Plowing takes up a significant amount of manpower, and the main priority for our plowing is to keep our arterials open for emergency vehicles and allow business districts to remain open and give citizens the ability to move about town and purchase groceries, buy gas, and meet their basic needs. See, when it's time to plow, it's all hands on deck, and there's 8 plows in the street at the same time, and after 16 plus hour shifts, there's no backup crew to take over. The plowing crew needs rest, and they plow into the night and early in the morning, and they still have to report back to work at 7 a.m., and if more plowing is needed, they work overtime. So Terry gave me an example of the cost, because that's what the council was looking at. Staff plowed for 22 hours in a 24-hour day that Saturday that was the first time McCain had closed in how many years?
It's over 30.
30 years. It was a 30-year storm. This computes to about $11,200 in labor with overtime and benefits. Staff began at 4 a.m. Saturday and worked until 6:30 p.m. They went back in at 11:30 p.m. Saturday night when traffic's the lightest, and they plowed till 8 a.m. Sunday morning. They then returned at 7 a.m. Monday morning all day and continued to the entire shift. This work normally takes 8 to 10 hours to clear all the streets in a single day, average snowfall. Expenses for the truck fuel just for these 22 hours is approximately $1,000 per call out. Staff plowed an average of 110 miles a night to bare all streets safe for travel. There's salting costs that are involved of $250 a bag, and it takes 1.5 bags per load depending on the conditions. And the labor based on the number of callouts and the length of time could be as much as $963 a week. And the city has plowed with 9 trucks. So at this time, staff doesn't recommend a change in the snow plowing policy. So now I'm open the discussion to council, because you had asked me to put this information together. So what do you guys think?
I like to leave it as is. I mean, it's true what he's saying. I mean, it rarely happens, you know, every 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's not like it's a every year deal to where it's, you know, it's a burden on the owners by Main. I mean, I know it's a headache, but it's not all the time. I'd like to leave it as is myself.
Okay.
It really just affects two of the...
Two blocks.
Yeah.
Well, two businesses, really.
Yep. Yep, you're right.
So, and if you're going to do it for...
There you go.
You got to do it for everybody.
There you go. That's it.
I'd just like to say that they did a good job this year. Really good job.
Thank you. I think they did an excellent job considering all, and then it looks like Tuesday night and Wednesday we're going to have this all over again. I told Angel he should have stayed in Arizona.
So I was out shoveling my driveway one day before the plows got there to get the snow out of there, because I knew they were going to come back and put it back in. So I just get done, and I always do in front of my house too. I'll do like car width out the street, put it up on my lawn. So Dan comes up and he stops and he's like, And I just went, go like that. You know, I wanted to remove as much as I could before they came, so I could shovel all that, because I shovel what they plow. But then, since I plow that, my neighbor doesn't get any snow. Because by the time they get past mine, there's no snow left at all in front of my house. So. But, no, they do a real good job.
That's, you know, if that's the will of the council, I think that's the will of the council. But I tell you what, one of the things that could be done is to eliminate these long-ass hours, excuse me, for our plows when they do get these kind of things. Why aren't we breaking up the shifts? Why don't you have four running and then four running after? And that way you don't have really, really tired people plowing the streets.
But then it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to end up with fast, but it'll get done.
You're going to end up with compact snow then with all the traffic, and then why go out to remove? It's
well,
nice to get the snow fresh out of there.
Because the amount of arterials we have, they're going to have those done well before they get compacted. The only places you're going to have compact snow is in the residential areas, and that's going to happen anyway. Yeah. You know, we had compact snow and ice in front of our house in Hemlock, and the plows were out, all of them.
I say leave it like it is.
Maria?
I agree to do that.
Okay. That's what we'll do. Let's go to unfinished business. Is there any
I got one.
Yes.
So September 26, 2016, we had the opportunity for Avista to put in a charging station out here, and they were gonna cover 80% of the costs. And I do not know why we didn't do it, because our cost would be between $1,000 and $2,000, and that. I mean, that's nothing compared to what our budget is. And it yeah. seems like it's always the little things that we get hung up on. Okay. So I don't know if there's something that Avista can still do to make that happen. And then I know back in, I think it goes back to 2011 or something like that.
When they first started talking about it?
2011.
Well, we have chapter 17.72 electric vehicle infrastructure, and it defines and lays out everything that we can do that is allowed in the city.
Yeah, but if we're going to get a charging station for next okay. to nothing.
The Underground Utility Committee meets with Avista on Wednesday the 13th at noon. So we'll bring that up with Avista. I think my understanding is that did we not talk to Pick-A-Pop, because they're out on the highway, to see if they wanted to pick that up. And I don't ever remember what happened from there. It escapes me, and Wade was in taking care of those details, but I can find out. So.
That was their engineer, Vista's engineer, had talked to me, and they thought that it had a better opportunity being out of Pick-A-Pop because of the amount of traffic, the stops. You got the Bingers, you got the Hawk, and they were going to seek a spot out there since they were going to put their sign up. And I don't know how that came out, but their engineer thought that that was a much better place because of the traffic, fuel stops, the subway, and they were going to see if they couldn't make that connection with them. So that was the last of that. Just okay. FYI.
Thank you. I'll check with the Pick-A-Pop owners, and I'll also excuse me, find out from Vista where we are with that.
Great.
Is there any other unfinished business? So I'll get back to council here next Monday on that. there any other unfinished business? No. Is there any new business? Okay. Hearing none. I will adjourn tonight's meeting. No further business to come before the council. I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:08 p.m. Thank you.